And people would get upset with him. Sometimes they chased him out of town. Sometimes they chased him from town to town. And so for the most part, he was very concerned about them. He even said in chapter 10, he said, if it were possible, if I could go to hell, I would go to hell if it would mean the salvation of my people. So he's very concerned about it. But in chapter 11, it's like, you got a problem? Wow. So anyway, he's very concerned about the fact that many of the Jews are not coming to Christ, but he kind of shows us in this section that we're going to look at not to be discouraged, even though there's a lot of questions that he asks and a lot of answers he gives us about the Jews and where they should have been and that kind of thing. All right. So he says, you know, one of the lines right before this section, this is in chapter 10 still, say, Lord, who has believed our message? It's still a little hot. Maybe the other mics need to be turned off. Are they all off? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm hearing echoes. Okay. So he says, Lord, who's believed our message? And then he asked some questions about the Jewish people. He said, you know, but I asked, did they not hear? And he says, of course they did. Their voice is going out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Now, this is from Psalm 19, and it says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. And what he's talking about is what we call general revelation. He's saying, and that's what this text alludes to, he says, did they hear? He said, well, you know, they see the heavens, they see the stars, they see the moon, they see everything that God created, the trees and the fruit of the field and all the good things of God, right? And he says, yes, they should have seen that there is a God. He said the same thing in chapter 1 of Romans, where he talked about the pagan world and how everything that God created and all that he made is before them. And he said they should have known there is a God. Not many gods, but there is a God, a creator God. And so he says about the pagans, he says, so they are without excuse. In other words, that message has gone out into the world. That message is there for everybody to see. You know? Now, what people do with that is a different thing. But he's talking about, you know, the Jewish folks, and he said basically, you know, the idea is they still weren't listening to the word. Now, we have that same thing. We have the gospel being preached, and we have all of creation to look at it, you know. And for some people, they are awake to that idea. Yeah, I look at things and see, wow, God is awesome. God does some great things. And then the gospel goes with that. The gospel, you can't learn about sin. You can't learn about the cross. You can't learn about, you know, what God desires from you as a person just by looking at creation. So the gospel also goes. Remember, he said in chapter 10, he says, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so now he's like, you know, why aren't these guys listening? Why don't they see God in everything like we do, right? And so he says, they have heard. They've been told. He also says about Israel that they were warned. And this goes back. This is, the first quote is from Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is Moses. That's 1,400 years before Jesus. And Moses warns his people. Now, in the section that of Deuteronomy this comes from, this was where God was going to lay out, if you obey me, you're going to get blessed and everything's going to go so nice for you. If you disobey me, everything is going to get squashed down and you're going to have a terrible existence, right? So in that section where he's warning them, and I'll read some more of it for you, he says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation, right? I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. What's he saying to the people of Israel? He's saying, you know, since you won't do what's right, since I've told you everything you should be and everything that you should do, right, in the law, and you won't do it, he says, I'm going to find other people that will make you jealous, right? So listen to what he says in context of that Deuteronomy passage in Deuteronomy 32, 17. It says, they sacrificed to false gods, which are not God, gods they had not known, gods that recently appeared, gods that your ancestors did not fear. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. They are a perverse generation, children who are unfaithful. So he says, what I'm going to do to try to gain the unfaithful heart is to make them jealous by causing others. Now, this is what was going on. You know, again, the Jewish people, the first church was all Jewish. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 9, everybody that got saved was Jewish. The first Gentile doesn't get saved until chapter 10, right, of Acts. So the idea is, you know, now, though, there are more Gentiles coming than Jews, and Paul sees that, and he says, oh, that fulfills the text in Deuteronomy, because the people weren't looking for God. They weren't doing what was right. God is calling people from outside to make them jealous. And then Isaiah talks about the same thing in Isaiah 65. He says, I was found for those by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. He goes on, he says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. And so he's talking about the impact of the gospel for those people who were outsiders of the Jewish people. And God was going to try to wake the Jewish people up by what happened. And I remember the story of the centurion. The centurion, you know, comes up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, my servant is home and he's sick. And you know, I know that, you know, you can heal him. And Jesus says, I'll come to your house. And the centurion says, I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Just say the word, because I'm a man of authority, and I know if I give a command, they follow it. So Jesus, you just say the word, and I know my servant will be okay. And Jesus says, I have not seen this kind of faith in all Israel. I haven't seen that kind of faith among all the Jewish people. He said, and they turned to the crowd, and he says, listen, many people are going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to take your place at the table of Abraham. So again, this idea that they were warned, they were told, because Isaiah was 700 years before Christ, and they were warned that God was going to try to wake them up, try to stir their hearts, right, by drawing other people to Christ. But concerning Israel, he says, and this is a really good one here, well, they're all good, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. Again, this is Isaiah 65. He says, he talks about these people in context of Isaiah. He says, they sit among graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil. They eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. That's the wrath of God. They were sinning and ignoring God and stirring up his wrath, right? But he says about them, he says, I have been, you know, holding out my hands. And this is an active verb, holding out. God kept offering them grace. God kept sending them prophets. God kept trying to warn them. God kept calling them. And then, you know, he sends Paul. Paul and the other apostles were going around, and Paul would go to a town. The first thing Paul would do would be to share with the Jewish people. And he would share. Some would believe, and then that would upset the other ones, and then that's what started trouble. And then he'd go to the Gentiles, and more of the Gentiles believed, right? So the idea is God is constantly, like, giving a message, constantly reaching out. I think about this, you know, in this neighborhood, we've had opportunities to share with, you know, literally thousands of people through kids. You know, now we had at least two mothers who had their children into, and they were our kids, you know, 20 years ago. And now, you know, we have those mothers and their children around us, you know. So we've shared the gospel with kids, and we've shared it with adults for years and years and years. And to be honest with you, I always thought, wow, we're getting all this opportunity to witness and talk to people, and man, we're going to have to build a bigger church. And we look around us and we see, okay, most people aren't responding. Most people aren't you know, coming to Christ. You know, so what should we do? Quit? Should we stop talking? Should we stop preaching? Should we say, okay, you know, when I first got here, people told me, they said, people from this neighborhood won't ever come to church. They won't be a part of a church. They're not interested in God, right? I didn't believe that. I still don't believe that, by the way. I would walk around the neighborhood and just, you know, door to door, house to house, see people. And as I walked around, the text in Acts that came to my mind when Paul was in Corinth, God told him, he says, you stay here because some of these people belong to me. And so, or actually, he said, many people here belong to me. And I walked around. I said, I know some of these people belong to God. Some people, even though we've shared and we've shared and we've shared, Paul shared and shared and shared, right? Now, he says, I ask then, did God reject his people? And this is that, you know, never let it be, or by no means, you know, but never let it be. Don't ever say that, in effect, right? God did not reject Israel. He said, I'm an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Now, one of the things I'll talk about in a second is the consistency of the theology here. But he says, you know, did God reject Israel? And no, because Paul himself, probably the greatest apostle as far as Scripture is concerned, and giving us more letters and more content than any other, Paul was a Jewish Pharisee. And God called Paul out. You know, Jesus stood in the road on the way to Damascus and revealed himself to Paul. So he says, no. And again, remember, as he said, from Acts 2 to 9, all the church, all the first, you know, the 3,000 in Acts 2, the 5,000 in Acts 4, those were all Jewish people. So God was still holding out his hand, still holding out grace, still offering salvation, right? The other thing that happens, and this is in the verses that follow, again, he said God foreknew Paul and other Jewish people. God reserved 7,000 people. And again, it was God reserved. These are the words. And he says God chose a remnant, and Paul knew there was still a people. And that's the thing there. This is the last part we're going to share. This is in chapter 11. He says, don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appeared to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Now here you think about, this is in Jezebel and Ahab, the two most evil people in Israel, right? I mean, Ahab built a temple in the capital city of Israel. He built a temple to Baal, right? And then Jezebel wanted to kill all the prophets of God. And she was on a terror. And so the two of them were so twisted, so evil. And Elijah was one of the mightiest prophets of the Old Testament. God sent him to stand in front of Ahab and to stand up to Jezebel, right? And they were going to kill him. So he goes on the run. He's running away. He's running away from the most wicked rulers that Israel ever knew. And he says, you know, they want to kill him. And he goes, if you remember, he goes all the way down to Sinai. You know, one trip, then another. And he ends up at Sinai. And there he's like calling on the Lord, and the Lord's going to reveal himself. And it wasn't in the wind, you know, that shook things. It wasn't in the flame. It wasn't, but it was a small voice that he heard inside of him. And he covered up his head, you know. But he was saying to God, he says, God, you know, Israel is evil. It's over. There's no point anymore. There's no point in talking to these people or sharing with these people. And God said, I have 7,000 people that still have not bowed to the idol Baal. In other words, even in the hardest places, at the darkest times, when everything seems like it's not what I expected, it's not what I hoped for, Paul hoped that when he went into a synagogue, that those people would hear, that those people would come to Christ. But in effect, he's saying here, listen, God always had a people. God always had someone that he foreknew. God always had someone that he had chosen. God always had some remnant that he kept for himself, right? And so Paul says, so too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it's no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. He's saying, I know that the gospel, you know, in Romans, right? A righteousness from God that comes through faith. A righteousness that gives us freedom to serve God. A righteousness that unleashes the power of the Spirit in our lives. And that righteousness comes through preaching the word. That's what he said in chapter 10, right? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And so he says, I'm not discouraged. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning back. I'm going to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ because I know God still has a people. God still has people who will listen. Just think sometimes, you know, we try to share with people, maybe friends or you know, people outside, and sometimes we look at, you know, in the church, we get opportunities, you know, to share with people. And sometimes we might feel like, wow, maybe, you know, it's done. Paul says it's never done. God is always holding out his hand. God is always reaching out. And God expects his church to continue to proclaim the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.